So tonight in Mitzvah Shem, we seek to complete Simen Pei Tes and hopefully also open Simen Sadi Aleph. We had a chance 2 weeks ago to survey the sugyas that Simen Pei Tes is built upon. And last week we had a chance to focus on the Shulchan Aruch. We had a chance last week to focus on the Shulchan Aruch and Simen Pei Tes Sif Aleph, which was the discussion, the multi-layered discussion about Fleishiks followed by Milchiks. Gevina Achar Basar. So there we saw Machalokas Rishonim, whether there's an absolute need to wait, and then a further Machalokas Rishonim, if there is a need to wait, how long do you wait? We saw that we generally are Machmir on all fronts. We assume that after Fleishiks, there is an absolute need to wait, and you cannot just do Kinuach V'adacha in place of that, and that we generally follow the Rambam against Tosfos. Certainly, Svardim and Eastern Ashkenazim follow the Rambam against Tosfos, that when you wait, that Misuda L'suda means waiting 6 hours. Okay. Now, Sif Beis in Simen Pei Tes moves to the reverse. What happens if you have Milchiks first and you want to have Fleishiks afterwards? So here the Shulchan Aruch is relatively straightforward, and particularly if you assume, as we mentioned moments ago that we do, that Kinuach V'Hadacha is not relevant to Basar V'Achakach Gvina, so that means the discussion of Kinuach V'Hadacha in the Gemara is all about the topic of Sif Beis. If it's not relevant to Sif Aleph, it is relevant to Sif Beis. That's what they're talking about. They talk about both the Netilas Yadayim and taking cleansing your hands and cleansing your mouth. Those are all about the Ochal Gvina. Ochal Basar, you gotta wait. But Ochal Gvina, here we go, Sif Beis. Ochal Gvina Mutar Le'echol Acharav Basar Miyad. If you drink milk or you eat cheese, you can eat Fleishiks right away subsequently. There's no minimum waiting time, but there are steps you have to take. Ubilvad, number one, your hands. Ubilvad she'ayen yadav shal yehe shum davar me'agvin nidbak ben. You have to visually inspect your hands to make sure there's no residue of the cheese stuck to your fingers. And if it's nighttime, I'm able to look. So then, tzarech l'rachtam, requiring a tilas hadayim. And that's that we saw that was directly out of the Gemara Kuf Dal and Beis. The Gemara mentioned the need for tilas hadayim. The Gemara had a story that the Ritzuk Bar Moshar, Breder of Mosharshia, he didn't wash his hands. He explained, "Wash my hands because I was able to look." By Laila, you have no option but to wash your hands. But by Yom, you could look. If your hands are clean, no need to wash your hands. Obviously, your hands are dirty. Then you do need to wash your hands. So that's number one. And then in addition, number two, you also require not only cleansing your hands, but cleansing your mouth. Tzarech l'kaneach piv u'lahadicho. That's the need for both. Kinuach v'adacha, that arises from the Beishamai Beis Hillel, the Brisa of Beishamai Beis Hillel. That's went from Kuv Dalam and Beis onto Kuv Hei Amud Aleph. The Gemara comes to the conclusion that you need both. You need both kinuach and hadacha. Hadacha is rinsing, kinuach is eating some sort of solid food. The Shulchan Aruch goes on to explain, kinuach u'shiyilos pas v'yikanach bo piv yafe. You chew on bread or some other such food that will clean out your mouth, except for kimcha, tamri, yarka. Those are the three exceptions that go ahead. Flour or dates or vegetables, some certain greens, vegetables, nidbakim b'chanichan, the sort of soft things that will get stuck to your mouth, they won't ein mekan chen yafe. So first you have the kinoach, v'achar kach yediach piv. Afterwards you rinse out your mouth with some beverage or another. It could be mayim, it could be yayin, the shachrites and sifkat and yud gimel, that the achar kach is lavdavka. You know, one step and then the other, we don't really care about what the sequence is. You can have kinoach first and then hadacha, you know, hadacha first and then kinoach. Either way is fine. And then, after mentioning that you need both kinoach and hadacha, in order to have fleshix after milchix, Shachar goes on to quote the position of the Rambam, and in this the Rambam is somewhat of a mekel. The Rambam understood that the need for kinuach v'hadacha and netila, they are waived. If what you're planning to eat is chicken, that was the Rambam's understanding of the opening Bryce in this whole discussion. Kufdal and Mabez, Agra had said that Ofugvina Chomba Pikoren, that Ofugvina could be eaten in a hefker fashion below Natil Sadaim, below Knul Chapeh. So again, the Rambam says, look, it's not talking about O first and Gvina second. In that case, you have to wait. Kinuach Adacha aren't the issue. It's talking about Gvina first and Of second. And the Rambam said, look, what the Gemara is saying is that you don't need anything. So that's what Shulchan Aruch quotes. And the Rambam goes on to say, Yesh Machmir. And that's our practice, that Yesh Machmir feel with Basar Achar Gvina. Excuse me, I'm sorry, I take that back, that's not the point of the Rambam. Rama goes on to add a new chumra. Yesh machmir fil basar achagvina. Sar machmir, even if you have flesh following cheese, it's still what still you have to wait. That waiting, not only do you have to wait after flesh, you even have to wait after milchix. Rama goes on to say, v'cheinog in kol shagvina kasha. If it's gvina kasha, if you have hard cheese, ein och achre afilu basar of, kevo begvina achar basar. Rama says, that is the common Ashkenazi practice, to wait after hard cheese. He says there are those who are mekel. Ein limchos rak shiyasu kinuach v'adachon til zedayim. Obviously, that's the Ikar Adin. That after cheese, you have to both cleanse your mouth and cleanse your hands. But tov v'hachmir. Rama encourages this chumra. So what is this chumra? Chumra goes back to the Maharam, and perhaps even earlier. So the first question is, what do you mean by Gevina Kasha? Hard cheese. Hard cheese, where there's more of a concern. The Beis Yosef quotes, he discovered that he had cheese stuck to his mouth after a while, so he decided to eat machmas. And the Beis Yosef quotes the conversation, was that a personal chumra? Or was that recommended for all Ashkenazim? So what is hard cheese? So the Shach writes in Sivkan Tezvav, Minastam, imhi yishana, shisha chadashim chashiva kasha. 6 months, if it's aged for 6 months or more, that's going to get you, that's the shear of hardness that we're describing. That's what the Shach says. And the Taz adds another option. Beginning of Sivka and Dalid, he says, Lahamtin Sheishos, Shear giving a kasha zachar amaz, either Avro Lehashisha Chadashim, the Taz writes, beginning of Sivka and Dalid, O Shehi Mesulas, blue cheese, wormy cheese, moldy cheese. So either if it's been aged for 6 months or more, or if it is blue, either way, that's considered to be Gvina Kasha. Now, the Taz, then he sees a lengthy Taz. See, he has an interesting discussion. He's trying to figure out, well, what's the svar for this, and should we accept it or not? The waiting after hard cheese. So the Taz thinks, maybe this is another nafkamina in the machlokas we had discussed last time, machlokas we showed in Rashi and the Rambam, as to why it is that the Gemara mandates waiting after fleshiks. That the Rashi had said that the reason why you have to wait after fleshiks is because some of the grease, some of the flavor will be stuck in your mouth, is moshech tam, there'll be some residue in your palate, and you'll be tasting the flavor for a while. So the Rashi says, you're waiting for the to ensure there's no residue left in your mouth. The Rambam had said, you're waiting because of the concern of Basar Shebein HaShinayim. So the Taz suggests, look, you know, Rashi's Svara applies, the Rambam's Svara doesn't apply. If you have a particularly sharp cheese, particularly pungent cheese, so yeah, so maybe Rashi's concern of the tam hanimshach, the flavor will remain in your mouth, that's relevant. But if you're talking about Basar Shebein HaShinayim, stuck between your teeth, that's clearly irrelevant, even if the cheese is hard. It's not that hard. It's not stringy the way meat is. So that's a Taz's suggestion that this Ashkenazi Chumra follows, not surprisingly, Rashi, but not the Rambam. It's based on the Tam Nimshach. Prima Gadim suggests, look, maybe some cheese is really hard. You have harder particles. Maybe they will get stuck. It's not stringy. It's bits and pieces stuck. But it's an interesting Svarim that the Taz raises. Now, you take a look at the Halacha Lamasa, the question is, do we accept it? Take a look at the Shach and Sivkot and Yud Zayin, intriguing Shach. So number one, he quotes a Maharshal, more or less a contemporary of the Ramah, who was very unhappy with this. That's what I had mentioned before. Take a look in Sivkot and Yud Zayin. Maharshal Sham Kara Tagar L'machmirim. The Maharshal complained bitterly. The Maharshal severely critiqued following this Chumash Shehu Kamo Minus. He says apikursus to wait. It verges on apikursus to wait after cheese. Why is it apikursus? Presumably because you're just ignoring the Gemara. The Gemara very clearly from Kufei and Aleph differentiated. Amar Rav Chista achal basar also lechal gvina, gvina mata lechal basar. Rav Chista the Amora is quite clear. So Maharshal says, well, what do you mean you're just ignoring what Rav Chista said? Says that's almost kfira. How do you just ignore Chachmei HaTalmud? Bein l'chumra, bein l'kula. You can't just run roughshod over the Chachmei HaTalmud say. That was the Marshal's reaction. Is it I, the Maharam? Maharam of Wittenberg. Avamar davka Maharam shal michshul yado pa'amachas hechemir. And Maharam records that he once was holding by eating flayshiks, and he found a bit of hard cheese still in his mouth. So the Maharshal says, look, my Rav had that run, and so he had the right to be machmir, but to establish this, you know, nationwide, that is inappropriate. Mishaloba liyado takala lo yachol lahachmir. That's what the Maharshal says. And the Shach says, ayin sham she'ein dvar of muchrachim. Mashach says, with all due respect to Maharshal, I don't find what he said very compelling. Adarabba bediv maram shamashma ipcha. You read the maram inside, the Shach says, it does not sound like he's just saying, I decide to personally be machmer. It sounds like he's recommending it for everyone. And it's minus. So the answer is that we have loads of post-Talmudic minhagim to be machmer over and above the Gemara. And the question is, are you implying that this is a real din? Or are you clear this is not the din, but this is an added minhag? It's in economic. To say that hard cheese and mamish m'ikra din, to say it's a real din drabanan to weigh after hard cheese, so that would be minus. That means that you're disagreeing with the Chachmei HaTalmud. That's utterly inappropriate. But to say it's mutter m'ikra din, but this is a chumras harishonim, so that's that would be appropriate. I think Shach quotes, I believe, from Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, that developed a theme that you already find in some Rishonim, that many Rishonim discuss, why is there no Baltosif? Why isn't every Issa Rabbanon a violation of Baltosif? The Rajba just talks about it. Tos talks about it. Chachmei Svar talk about it. Early Chachmei Svar, Rambam, Ravid. So some suggest an interesting question. It's an interesting question, but the Torah authorizes Chazal to make Din Rabbanan. V'shamruus mishmarti. Asum mishmarus mishmarti. On the other hand, you have a different pasuk. It's Rav Bal Tosef. So different Rishonim with different approaches. So Rav Soloveitchik picked up a motif you find in some Rishonim that he developed further, that perhaps an Issa Rabbanan would be Baltosif if you make it seem like it's Daraisa. But if you're clear that it's Rabbanan, so then it's not Baltosif. to pass it off as though it's daraisa, that would, they're already, you're in danger of violating Baal Tosef. And I think he suggested, Mercy and Salvation suggested, that's why sometimes Chazal seem to go out of their way to build in certain kulas into various din and drabanan, to make it clear this is only drabanan. That may even be the reason why, in general, Saf drabanan lahakel. Why did Chazal design drabanans with that kula built in? Why not make it as similar as possible to daraisas? If daraisas is safik luchumra, why not say that by drabanans as well? So I believe it's Mercy and Salvation who suggested no. They dafka created the Chazal in creating the legislation, creating and legislating Din Drabanan. They dafka built in this kula of Suffolk Lahakal to help differentiate the Drabanans from the Daraisas. Particularly as Halacha have other built-in kulas. Truma Drabanan has its own kulas and so on and so forth. They may hear this sort of like a pan-Halachic kula that Suffolk Drabanan Lahakal, that's... That'll be a hecker throughout Halacha. That's Drabban, it's not Darais. So I mean, perhaps a similar svar is at play here also. If you were to make it seem as though it's a minhag, is it Din Drabban? So yeah, that's minus. But to have a minhag, and we know it's a minhag. So what's wrong? Okay. So that's a Siv Beis. Yeah. Sure. Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know my Parmesan from my Camembert. So I'm not enough of a foodie to really answer that. I don't think there are that many cheeses on the general kosher market that are aged more than 6 months. But every once in a while there will be, and certainly if you get into gourmet cheese, I think it is somewhat more common. Poskim also point out, here's one more key exception, which is that Gvina Kasha is assumed to only be an issue. Again, we follow the Shach. We do follow this Chumas Rama, Chumas Maram. But not only does it have to qualify as hard cheese, again, either wormy, moldy, or aged for 6 months or more, but also that it's not been melted. It has to be solid, and not just solid, but still solid. If it melts and then re-solidifies, that's not obviously Gvina Kasha. So usually the way most people eat Parmesan is as you'll sprinkle some shredded, ground Parmesan onto, a plate of hot pasta. So that's not Gvina Kasha. If you have a slice of Parmesan that you're chewing on, that's already, you go to some cheese tasting and you're nibbling on a piece of Parmesan. If it's been aged 6 months or more, then it's going to be a concern. But once it's melted, it loses its status. Now, Siv Gimel, it's interesting. Siv Gimel, yeah, Nathan?
So you mentioned this just very briefly, but you should note that the Rama also disagrees with the Rambam about chicken. You dropped that in there.
Yeah. Oh, his point about the Besar Oaf. Yeah, it's interesting. Ramah does mention the Besar Oaf. The question is, there it's in the context of... that's in the context of Gvina Kasha. Right. The question would be, what the Shulchan Aruch had been saying was not with respect to waiting, but with respect to Kinyuach V'Adach and Etil Zedayim. Right. I believe there are. I believe there are Rishonim who are more makel than the Rambam. I think Lamas, I think we do follow the Rambam. There is some discussion about that. It's not 100% clear. The Svara is also a little unclear, especially since this way the Shulchan Aruch presents it, and the Rambam presents it. It's a differentiation between Ov versus Chaya. So it's not just a question of Ov being Drabanan. It's a little hard to understand. It is hard to understand, but that does seem to be the way we pass. It looks like that's the way we paskin. Now Sif Gimel comes from the very end of the sugya on Kuf Hei Beis, and it's a yeah.
Two quick things on
the sure.
The issue of Nikila, would you say that the issue of Nikila is absolute, or it depends if you're eating with your hands or not? In other words, if I'm eating meat with a fork, is there an absolute requirement of Nikila as if it's Nikila Shadayim for Amotzi, or it's dependent on whether there's touching of the food?
That's an interesting question. Yes, if you're not eating finger food, l'chora, so you want to know, is there an absolute requirement for Nitil Zedayim? So the reason to have said there's an absolute requirement for Nitil Zedayim would have been that lo plug, that if Chazal made a Dinja Rabbanan, that you have to do Nitil Zedayim, so it doesn't depend on the reason. Except that here it seems pretty clear that this is not a lo plug. After all, that's what the Gemara says. That's what Yitzchak Bar Masharshi has said on the band. That gets quoted in Jirat Shulchan Aruch. Oh, but by Laila I have to wash the Azadayim, but by Yom I could just look instead. So it seems like it wasn't. It's not that the Din Rabbanan was you must do until Azadayim. The Din Rabbanan was you have to ensure that your hands are clean through whatever modality you're going to use, whether it's visual inspection or it's hand washing. And look, Lechumra also the. The Shach quotes, Shach in the Emes of Kantes quotes a summary Shalom said, look, if you're very worried that if you're concerned that there may be invisible grease, the grease that's not easy to see, so then even by Yom you have to wash your hands. It's not a, it's objective driven, it's goal driven rather than process. It wasn't a Din Rabbanan on the process, a Din Rabbanan on the goal. So presumably that would also mean that I don't even have to look if I know that I didn't touch the food. Like whether I was using it...
Hey,
either or, right. Now let's say if I had string cheese that was in a plastic wrapper. So some people like to open it up and string it apart. Other people like to just open it a little bit and eat it like a bar. So if you never even touch the cheese with your fingers, then l'chor, there isn't even a need to look. L'chor.
Or if I'm going to eat chicken soup afterwards
with a spoon, then unless you're worried it'll get from the... Once your fingers are greasy with milchiks, that I would not be so comfortable with. It ends up... Well, yeah.
Does that mean there's no problem with having one bracha, a bracha nanin, be kolal both melchiks and plasics, and same thing with bracha horna? Like you would say, to make a shakol my yogurt, and then that same shakol covers the meat that I have afterwards, and then I make one big bracha horna afterwards. If you say you still need a hefsek, you can't have one bracha be kolal melchik and plasics.
Yeah, I think that's what the Shach is an interesting question. Do you have to wait at all between Milchus and Fleishiks? So that's what the Shach sounds like he's thinking about that. In Sifkat and Tazayin, he says, I mentioned before Zohar, that it can't be Bechad the Sudas or Bechad the Shaita. So he says, it sounds like he raises the issue. He quotes the Sefer Mitzaref al-Chachma. I'm not sure if Mitzaref al-Chachma is a halachic work or a Kabbalistic work. So if he sounds like he says, well, the question is, would that apply in both directions? The language of the Gemara was Misu'uda l'Su'uda. The language of the Zohar was they shouldn't be in the same Su'uda or in the same hour. So that potentially could be symmetrical, maybe in both directions. So up until now, we've been calling the Zohar Zakula that all you need is 1 hour. It could be, it's a chumrah. I don't think that's widely practiced. and there is a prima gadim here. Yeah, so the prima gadim. The prima gadim on the shach, and the sif say das and sif kan taznayin. So he says, Kvar nagu lahaka de siluk u birkas hamazon, behind a kol shayna gvina kasha. Gvina kasha alach meshe shos. So it sounds like the prima gadim is assuming that you have to start yom to wait, but you might have to start a new suda. But to be mamish in the same suda, so that would be an issue. You had milchik, so you want to have fleshik dessert. Not sure what that would look like. You want to have charcuterie is all the rage now with the COVID dinners. So let's say you had milchik supper, and then you want to pull out a little charcuterie for dessert. You got to be careful how much you eat. It's remarkably filling because there's no all the water is out. So you have a little piece for dessert. So that's what he sounds like. That it would be inappropriate to have it mamish in the same meal, even if I did kinuach adach until sadaim. That's what it sounds like. And the truth is that does bring us a little bit to the next to Siv Gimel. Because
first question about the washing the hands. The Gemara seems to equate the washing at the beginning of the meal, washing the middle of the meal, washing the end of the meal. The kind of washing doesn't seem to differentiate between other than one's a reshus, one may be a chova. So it implies that since at the beginning of the meal you do it whether you're going to eat with a fork or a knife or your hands. At the end of the meal, you would have to wash whether you work. Seems like it's not differentiating whether you use utensils or not.
Okay. So Eric raises the question of Tehillas Hadayim, the later sugya of Tehillas Hadayim. That's actually where I was going to hit it from a different angle. The Gemara speaks, and by the way, the primary address of Hilchos Tehillas Hadayim in Shas, the Talmud Bavli, it shows up in a couple of places, but the primary address is right here in Perek Albasar. Halachas and Tehillas Hadayim are largely chulin from Daf Kuf Hei up until Daf Kuf Zayin. And the reason is because of this discussion of Netila, between Milchus and Fleishiks, the Gemara then broadens to talking about Tehillas Hadayim Rishonim, Achronim, as well as Emtsa'im. Then Tehillas Hadayim Rishonim means what we would call washing for bread, washing before you eat. That's Mayim Rishonim. Mayim Acharonim is what we call Mayim Acharonim. That's washing at the end of the meal in advance of benching. Our sukkah, and that's what the upcoming larger sukkah of Tehillas Hadayim would be focused mostly on that. Mayim Rishonim, perhaps Mayim Acharonim. What we're discussing in the Basar B'chalav context is strictly called Mayim Emtsa'im. In the middle of the meal. But again, that becomes somewhat of a machlokas between the Rashbam and Tosos, and Rashbam Reotam, and Tosos on Kufayim and Beis. That really brings us to the upcoming Sif. Whether this Mayim Emtsa'im, the in-between courses meal, is that talking between Fleishiks and Fleishiks? Or is that between Milchiks and Fleishiks? Or Fleishiks and Milchiks? So the fact that so a few things. So number one, when the Gemara requires Netilas Hadayim formally and in under all circumstances, that's Mayim Rishonim and perhaps also Mayim Achronim. But what we're talking about in a Bas B'chalav context is Mayim Emtsa'im, which is not automatically required always. Another point, though, going back to what Glenn said, is that to the extent that we're talking about Mayim and Tzayim, if you assume that Mayim and Tzayim means between Fleshiks and Milchiks, so the implication is that with proper entails and daim, you could be eating both in the same meal. So maybe that Gemara indicates against what the Prima Gunim quoted, that there'd be no need to have two separate meals. But I think we do assume they need two separate meals, and that's in part because the Rashbam and Rabbeinu Tam, it's a machlok between the brothers. They were both sons of Rabbeinu Meir, this one of the sons-in-law of Rashi. Rashbam was the older brother, Rabbeinu Shmuel, Rabbeinu Yaakov, who was nicknamed Rabbeinu Tam, was the younger brother. So they debate, the Gemara says, between Tavshil and Tavshil, you're not mechuyev to wash mayim and tzayim. Between Tavshil and Gevina, you are mechuyev to wash mayim and tzayim. So now the Rashbam says, well, really? You're not mechuyev to wash? And you're eating them the same meal? It sounds like you're having fleshiks first and then milchiks. So the Rashbam understood this has nothing to do with milchiks and fleshiks together. It means that they're both milchiks or both fleshiks. So then you're not mechuyev to wash. If you want to wash to be extra clean and neat, call a kavod, but not required. That was the Rashbam's opinion. Rabbi Atam says, no, we're talking about fleshiks and milchiks. And Rabbi Atam, take a look at Siv Gimel. Atam's position is recorded in the Shulchan Aruch. Achal tavshil shel basar mutar lechal achar of tavshil shel gvina. If it had a fleshik dish, but not actual pieces of flesh, if it's merely tavshil, there's no need to wait between a fleshik tavshil and a milchik tavshil. Even washing until it's a dayim is rishus. That's what the Gemara said. But if you can have but in bal lechal hagvina atzma. And the Ramah Rei sticks in Yesh Matzrichim Matil. Some say you do need. In Baal Lechol HaGevina Atzma Achar Tavshil Shal Basar, if you're going to eat actual cheese after a fleshik meal, Oh HaBasar Atzma Achar Tavshil Shal Gevina, then Chov Alito Yadav. That's the position of Rav Tam. Now, there's no need to wait after a Tavshil. Now again, Rav Tam in general holds there's no need to wait even after eating meat unless you don't want to do kinuach v'hadacha, right? That's what we had seen last time. But the Ramah goes on to say, we don't follow Rabbeinu Tam's kula. No go achshav l'hachem eshol lechol gevina achar tavshil basar, kemo achar basar atzmo, ve'ein l'shanos v'lifrotz geder. It says, we follow the minhag Ashkenaz, to follow the Rashbam, and no playing games. Even if you had a spoonful of chalent, I didn't have any pieces of meat. I was just having the beans and the barley. So it sounds like Rabbeinu Tam would say, you're not really mechuyev to wait. You don't have to wash your hands. Ramah says, we follow the Rashbam, plus. We treat tavshil shel basar the same as actual basar. Without any kulas. So coming back, so that's what, we'll come back to Siv Gimel in a moment, but I mentioned Siv Gimel also in terms of the issues that you had raised in terms of one su'uda. So depending on how you read the sugya of Mayim and Tzayim and the two Tavshilim, so there may be an indication in the Gemara that you can have Basar and Gvina in the same Suda. On the other hand, the whole point of that is on the assumption that we're more making on Tavshil than on the Basar Atzma. So Lamasa, first let's deal with Siv Beis, let's wrap up Siv Beis and let's turn our attention to Gimel. Lamasa, if you eat Gvina Kasha, Ashkenazim Ar Machmir, if it's unmelted 6-month-old cheese or unmelted moldy cheese, so you should wait 6 hours before eating fleshiks. And again, the Tazad point that seems to align, this chumrah of the Maharam lines up with Rashi's approach, that the waiting has to do with the Tam Nimshach as opposed to Rambam's approach, the waiting has to do with the Basar Shebein HaShinayim. And if it's not giving a kasha, so the Prima Gadim says you should still... you should still end the meal. Even if it's not giving a kasha, you still shouldn't have fleishiks for dessert in a milchik meal. You still require siluk. Turning to Siv Gimel, so again, there is an opinion out there which we don't, at least we, being Ashkenazim, do not accept, that tavshil shel basar is not the same as basar atzma. We do not accept that. We assume tavshil shel basar is absolutely fleishik. However, here's one kula, and this is important. Emilim ein basar betavshil. Raksha hamachal shen is basar bekeder shel basar mutter lechal achar of gvina. Cholent makes you fleishik because there's pieces of meat in the cholent, even if you didn't have a piece of meat. Chicken soup makes you fleishik even if you only ate the broth, you only had the carrots. But that's because you're eating food that was cooked together with meat, cooked together with chicken. But if it was part of a food made in a fleishik pot, fleishik equipment does not make you fleishik. We'll get to that more in Simon Sadi Hay. We'll dig in more into the issue of milk equipment, flesh equipment, what's called technical terminology, not bar not. But the Ramad Ray tells us here that if you made pasta in a fleshic pot, but there's no fleshic ingredients, eating that pasta does not make you fleshic. And then the Shach adds something important. The Shach in Siv Katan Yotes says, says we're going to say it later. We'll talk about it. He says, in Simon Sadi Hay, we'll discuss that. V'nira da'adashmi in Hacha, why are we really saying it here? So the point here is to add a further chiddush, even if it's a little bit more than fleishik equipment. I feel in this bashel b'kedera shalo hudcha yafe. Let's say it's a fleishik pot. You made meatballs for lunch, and then you rinsed out the pot, but not so well. And then you make spaghetti in the pot. So you didn't make spaghetti with the meatballs, but there's still some food remnants from lunch. Lo hudcha yafe, wasn't well cleaned. Ketsas mamashas shal iser. There's a little bit of residue left. That spaghetti will also not make you fleishik. And the pischei tshuva, Sivka unto Zion is magd. In other words, you don't need bittel b'shishim in order for food to not make you fleishik. So if you have spaghetti with a little bit of meat mixed in, right, there's a residue from last time, or some other way, if it's 2%, 3% fleishiks, the 2-3% is not bittel b'shishim. So if you mix cheese into that food, you could be in big trouble. If you just ate that part of a food with a little bit of fleishiks mixed in, not batel b'shishin, but close to that, so that doesn't make you fleishik. That's this shach. The lo hudcha yafe doesn't, eating a basically part of a food with a little bit of fleishiks mixed in, that does not make you fleishik. You can't eat cheese with that spaghetti that was cooked in the residue-ish pot, but You cannot eat cheese with it, but you are allowed to eat cheese afterwards. There's no need to wait. Now, Sif Dalid is the question of, I mentioned when we started the simen. The simen is really about eating milk and fleishiks one after the other. Simen Peches was about side by side, where they're geographically connected. That was Ha'Allah. Simen Peites is where there's a temporal connection, where it's one after the other. So the primary dina were, what do you do? Sif Aleph was you ate fleishiks, you have to wait before having milchiks. Sif Beis was you ate milchiks, you have to do kinoch haradach and netila before eating fleishiks. Sif Gimel was, to what extent are Sif Aleph and Beis still true if it's tavshil instead of actual basar? And Sif Dalit is no longer really about waiting. It's another issue that comes up. If I had fleishiks for lunch, I'm having milchiks for supper, or vice versa. The new issue of just what do you do with the tape? Forget about you. Forget about waiting and your mouth and your hands. How about the table? About clearing the table and the crumbs and the bread and so on and so forth, which really is primarily a Simon Tzadi Aleph issue. primarily a Siman Sari Aleph Ish. It's an interesting Ramah. Maybe we'll even turn our attention a little bit to Siman Sari Aleph right now. interesting Ramah. The Ramah at the end writes of Sif Dalet, Kfar Noi says you have to have two knives. So in theory, you could have a single bread knife to use it both in the milk meals and fleshig meals. You have a knife to use for milk and fleshig if it's all cold and you keep it clean. But Kfar Nogu call Yisrael Lioslam Shnei Sakinim. The standard minig Yisrael to have separate knives. V'lirshom Echad Mehem Sheilo Heker. You have to have two knives. You have to know which is milchik, which is fleshik. So you mark one of them. V'nohagu l'rshom shel chalav. V'ein l'shadas minig Yisrael. It says the minig is that you mark the milchik one. The fleshik one is smooth, and the milchik one gets some sort of mark on the handle, and that's the practice. And the marker that they quote is from the pasuk charitzei hachalav. Which is Bialpi Pshuto, has nothing to do with this, but it sounds a little bit like the charitz, the scratch is with the milk. So I remember this in Tar Vadas, in the dining room in Tar Vadas, they had very simple cutlery for everyone to eat with, and they had just gotten a thousand, whatever it was, knives, 1,000 forks, 1,000 spoons, and it was all the same. So they had drilled holes in the tip of the handle of all the milchik stuff. And the fleshik stuff was undrilled, and that's based on this Ramah, that the charitz goes in milchik. And again, I don't think this is a mini Yisrael in the sense that it's a mitam neder or something. It's just, you gotta have a consistent system. There has to be some universal system, otherwise there's gonna be endless confusion. So if you have, we live in a opulent society where, you know, you can get knife handles, you can buy knives in many different colored handles, we take that for granted, and you can get Corel in 27 different patterns. But back in the old days, there was no, you got knives, you got forks, you got spoons. How are you going to differentiate what's what? So there had to be a standard. So the convention that was developed was you mark the milchik and the fleshik stays unmarked. And that's based on, you have a pasuk, so that way everyone will remember what to do. Charitz, echav, remember that you make the charitz and the milchik. Interesting Ramah.